Welcome to the Daily Wrap Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
April 17th, 2019, and I will be doing a special TLAV research and review after this show on DLive. The link is in the show notes right up at the top. For those that want to join, this will be our first test using DLive to kind of revive the research and review that I used to do, and we'll be doing this on a semi-regular basis. So if you'd like to tune in, make sure you get the link from in the show notes, subscribe to us on DLive, and we'll be doing research and reviews there maybe once a week or so, and it'll be informal. We'll be asking questions, possibly phone calls, and it will be taking up, I'll be setting it up after the show, so maybe about 10, 15 minutes afterward, but be sure and tune in. We'll be discussing a lot more that's going on today in a casual fashion with the chat. So be sure and join us there. Now for today's show, a lot of important stuff. I'm only covering a few topics, but I want you all to think on what I was kind of fleshing out in the last show. Think on all that's taking place today as a whole, not individual topics, not just Venezuela, not just Yemen, but think on everything, all the things we've been talking about. We recently, you know, even in the last so many months, such as the revolution in Congo or what's going on in Haiti, or now that we know that the United States, Saudi Arabia, and Israel are directly involved in the Sudan, in Libya, they're also involved in Yemen and Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria, and all these different places. We need to recognize what's happening. That all of this, there's an agenda taking place. They're overthrowing countries in a lot of ways, largely that are going against Israeli foreign policy, to sway them and put someone in place that will make them aligned with U.S. and Israeli foreign policy. But not just that. It's important that we see that, but as well as the fact that we are getting into this realm today that is just disconnected from reality. It's always kind of been like that. Politicians have always come up and lied to you and told you what you wanted to hear. But now we're getting into a point where we can literally see them murdering people, and they'll get up and say, we're saving these people. Or we can see them arresting Julian Assange and calling him a criminal while he's the one exposing that they're the criminals. We're in like bizarro world today, more so than I've ever really seen. And I want you to think on this as we go through all the stories today and going into the future, because this is what we need to begin to recognize, that they're not just manufacturing our reality right in front of us, but that ultimately, this is likely what's been going on for a very long time, and we're only just now beginning to wake up to what's really happening right in front of us. But the four main topics that I'm going to cover today, Golan Heights has been a big issue, but now the United States has just officially released its new maps that show it as Israeli territory, while the rest of the world continues to say, yeah, that's completely illegal, and they do it anyway. Assange just got a European Union Journalism Award. That was founded on the memory of an assassinated journalist. That's all about people who expose crimes and are persecuted for them. Literally, this is happening while he's about to be charged for exactly that. And of course, Pakistan gives Mohammed bin Salman a humanitarian award. We're in backward world today. It's kind of like Obama's Nobel Peace Prize. It's what we're seeing everywhere. And of course, Pakistan giving Mohammed bin Salman, Saudi Arabia's leader, who is acutely involved in the murdering of daily of people in Yemen with the U.S. support, is the big story today. That relates specifically to the big story that Trump, to begin today, just officially yesterday vetoed the Yemen war bill. But there's more to it than just that. As I've pointed out more than once, this bill was not all it was cracked up to be. But I still thought it was a good step. But for the first article, something that I wrote myself yesterday on The Last American Vagabond, right when this broke, Trump vetoes Yemen war bill that sought to end the U.S.'s catastrophic war on Yemen. Sought to end. Very important. Would not have ended the war. And I fought with people on this tooth and nail from the very beginning, because I know that everybody wants this to be a good thing. And it is a good thing, at least in part. But the bill, many of them were well aware of that were involved with this bill, was made to give them a loophole, as well as lots of texts, including Israel and combating anti-Semitism, that had nothing to do with it. But the fact that he vetoed this shows us what's really going on today. The fact that it doesn't matter what we actually want, or even what Congress actually wants. And those are supposed to be the same thing, remember, but they're not. Congress does what they want. The people want lots of things that Congress doesn't care about, even though they're supposed to. But regardless, the American people and Congress wanted this to end, and Trump just said, nah, not going to happen. Sorry. Now, as was expected, on Tuesday, yesterday, Donald Trump officially vetoed House Joint Resolution 37. a bill passed by Congress with broad bipartisan support in an attempt to end the U.S.-led war on Yemen. And it is indeed a U.S.-led war, if anyone's actually being honest with themselves. Now, Congress voted for the first time earlier this month to invoke the War Powers Resolution to try to stop the U.S. government from waging yet another illegal war without congressional approval per the Constitution. Now, understand, that comment made in certain circles is, you know, you're not allowed to say that. That's not true. They're not waging illegal wars. But in reality, our own Congress members are routinely saying this. Again, the example of the fantasy world that many people are living in regard to what's really happening right in front of us. We can have actual evidence, actual members of Congress saying, you're violating the law, you're not adhering to the Constitution. And yet we pretend that that's just off the chart. You cannot say that. Un-American to say such a thing, to point out the crimes of the government. Ridiculous. Now, however, the text within this bill, and this is the important part for me, made it clear that even had it actually passed, the U.S.-led war in Yemen would likely have continued unabated. The most obvious example of this is where it read, Congress hereby directs the president to remove United States armed forces from hostilities in or affecting the Republic of Yemen. That's where it should have ended. But it went on to say, except United States armed forces engaged in operations directed at Al-Qaeda or associated forces. So basically, all they need to say is what we're doing is directed at Al-Qaeda or just another force that we think is kind of tangentially connected to them. That's called a loophole. Not only have they done this and lied about engaging in these forces so they could attack governments and other and their people before, they've done this before, but we're literally talking about this on many fields around the world today, and this was put in there for that exact purpose, to give them the sidestep. Now, many people actually think that the addition of the Israeli text, which was only added in the House, it wasn't in the Senate version, they added the text about protecting Israel, about combating anti-Semitism, as well as a loophole, but those two things were added after the fact, and I think many people think that this stuff was added in an attempt, knowing that Trump is wildly pro-Israel, to get them to allow this to pass for that reason. I can't prove that. That's theories that were out there, but it does seem to make sense. Unfortunately, he vetoed it anyway. Now, this loophole that we discussed with Al-Qaeda would allow the U.S., if this had passed, as it had done numerous times in the past, to simply claim to be engaging with Al-Qaeda, while in actuality maintaining the same engagement with the Yemeni people as before, you know, such as bombing schools, as we've seen multiple times, bombing schools or, you know, bombing weddings. Now, understand, every example I'm going to show you, there's countless examples. I can make an entire show based off each one of these categories. Schools, weddings, funerals. Many funerals, by the way, many funerals and weddings, or hospitals, schools, hospitals, funerals, weddings. Oh, yeah, this is real military engagement, or, you know, food silos, as we covered every one of these when they actually happened, bombing food silos, or just bombing fishing vessels as they try to, you know, feed themselves, because these are military targets, clearly. But this is what they've been doing. And all they would do is just maintain all of these things. By the way, the links for each of these are in the show notes, so you can look into them for yourselves while pretending they were fighting Al-Qaeda. Now, I've even pointed out the reality that they recently just labeled Iran's Revolutionary Guards as terrorists, which, by the way, Iran just officially voted and labeled them right back officially today. But that means that they can then claim that Iran is, you know, terrorists, as they've already been doing. And then through that, connect them to Hezbollah as they do, or rather the Houthis, who they already claim are connected to Iran, which is not necessarily the case, and then say, well, Houthis are terrorists, right? Well, Iran's terrorists, Houthis are working for them, they're terrorists. Now we have a terrorist justification under this loophole to go and attack these people because, you know, they're working with Al-Qaeda. This is what they do. Now, all of these things I pointed out, the bombings of schools, weddings, funerals, hospitals, food silos, fishing vessels, undeniably happened, was undeniably illegal, and was carried out with U.S. support. To sidestep this bill, all the U.S. would have had to do was change who it said it was engaged with, while carrying on with what is now the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Now, some involved with this bill likely had good intentions. However, you know, and knew that this bill would, at the very least, call attention to the catastrophic war that the mainstream media refuses to discuss, which is a good part of this. Yet everyone involved, whether they wanted this to secretly continue or not, is starkly aware of just how severe the situation in Yemen truly is, and how many people are in fact suffering on a daily basis. Now, despite this awareness of the severity, and the worldwide acknowledgement that should the U.S. withdraw its support, this war would immediately come to an end, here's what Trump had to say about it. He said, literally, in response, that he wasn't going to allow this to pass, and he said, quote, "This resolution is an unnecessary, dangerous attempt to weaken my constitutional authorities, endangering the lives of American citizens and brave service members," he says, "both today and in the future." I mean, so somehow stopping this current war will endanger future American lives? I mean, this is unbelievable. I'm not entirely sure that Trump fully understands what his constitutional authorities truly are. This is made all the more clear to me by the countless undeclared wars Trump's administration is currently engaged in. None of which, by the way, were approved by Congress. Now, moreover, for him to claim that ending a conflict would somehow endanger American lives is just insulting to our intelligence. And possibly, I inadvertently reveals that there are U.S. troops on the ground in Yemen. Something that we already knew was the case, by the way, yet a fact they still tried to deny. Now, Americans need to understand that the U.S. provides billions of dollars of arms to the Saudis, who regularly, routinely, daily carry out massive war crimes and human rights violations, as well as help them with every aspect of their efforts, the United States, including logistics. As many have framed it, quote, "The United States is the one with their finger on the map." That's how we have to see this. They're involved. Members of Congress and human rights groups around the world have expressed concern about the hundreds of thousands of civilians that have been killed in U.S. coalition airstrikes since the beginning of this conflict, as well as the 20 million people currently on the brink of starvation. The U.S.-Saudi invasion, and of course the illegal blockade, mind you, on the Arab world's poorest country, has also, in fact, left millions suffering from food and medical care shortages. This starvation, shortages, and suffering is not a byproduct of their illegal actions, but rather the entire point. And yes, just in case you missed it, Trump just vetoed a bill that sought to end U.S. involvement with this atrocity, ensuring, of course, the suffering of the Yemeni people carries on. I mean, everyone agrees that this is a crisis. Everyone. And yet our president just made clear that he wants this to continue. We really need to let that register, regardless of the claims they try to make. Oh, we have to fight Iran, as if that somehow justifies the murdering of tens of thousands of people on a regular basis. It's the same nonsense they do in Israel. Oh, well, Iran, bad guy, right? Or just Hamas, bad guy. So we have to just kill everybody and we'll sort it out later. As long as we say we're fighting this person that we've demonized, anything else we do, it's all okay. This is what's going on today, and the Yemen war needs to come to an end because it does not do anything for American interests, and the U.S. is the one maintaining this war. And not only that, it is simply illegal. We're murdering people on a regular basis. Or not we, the United States oligarchy is, in our name. It's time to put this to an end. And what will really do that is if every American stands up and makes sure that the world knows that we do not support this. Because they're doing this, remember, in your name as an American. Now, to make this all the more insulting, truly, speaking of Yemen and Mohammed bin Salman, the puppet of the United States and Israel, who is carrying this out at their behest, from Middle East Monitor, Pakistan hands bin Salman a humanitarian award. Again, this is what I'm talking about. A man who is overwhelmingly being accused of all kinds of crimes and human, and not the fact that we're talking about a dictator, we're talking about a recognized monarchy, and they give him a humanitarian award while he was probably just washing the blood off his hands from crucifying and beheading human rights activists? Yeah, sure, give him a humanitarian award because that makes sense. This is propaganda. This is about, as I said, cultivating your perception of reality, and again, that is completely disconnected from what's really happening. And to the point to where we even know that, like even we can look at this I don't think anybody can read this and not scoff, but yet they do it anyway. What does that mean? It means they don't care, first of all, that we know that they're lying. At the end of the day, they don't care about what we want at all. It's all about maintaining the illusion. This is what's going on. Now, Mohammed bin Salman has received two awards, two actually, in his latest tour of Pakistan, where the Crown Prince was honored for championing human or key humanitarian issues during a trip in which Riyadh, you know, just coincidentally also signed a $20 billion investment with Islamabad because, you know, two things aren't connected, of course. Give them $20 billion and they say that we're good people. That's how these things work. Now, Pakistan, which is in desperate need of foreign investment, conferred its highest civilian honor to Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Pakistan's president, Arif Alvi, handed the award during a formal ceremony on Monday. A day after, of course, again, coincidentally, securing the $20 billion investment with Mohammed bin Salman. Just, you know, again, just coincidentally timed that it happened right after that. Now, a second award recognized Mohammed bin Salman as the global influential figure of 2018. So not only is a good person saving lives, but apparently he is the global influential figure. That should really make you shiver more than Mohammed bin Salman's promise to kill children. It's overwhelming. Now, according to Arab News, this honor was granted to the Crown Prince for his efforts in supporting Islam and pioneering key humanitarian issues, including Palestine, Yemen, Syria, and just the general protection of Muslim minorities, even though that's the people they're currently murdering. What their extremist ideology has in fact done was target Christians around the world. We've seen this. But we're watching it play out in Yemen right now, where they are literally targeting the very Muslim minority groups that they're pretending, or they just got an award for protecting. Now, while the world can see that the Saudis, along with the United States, are obviously involved with creating and, of course, clearly increasing, exacerbating the very same problem they created, the world's worst humanitarian crisis. We just went over just a fraction, by the way, of the massive war crimes they have committed. Links are in the show notes. And yet, here we are discussing their award for humanitarianism, in part for their actions in Yemen, of all places. We have gone into a new realm of propaganda here. This is straight fantasy. Again, this is like Obama's Nobel Peace Prize that even he thought was ridiculous. They know this is a lie. They even know that we know this is a lie. But here we are. This is just window dressing, I think, for the few mindless followers left out there still watching mainstream media. The point is, they no longer seem to care if we see them for what they are. They'll just lie and project the false majority. And another example of this alarming deviation from reality is taking place right in front of us with this next article. Julian Assange wins EU Journalism Award. Julian Assange wins a journalism award while he is being prosecuted for journalism. It's just this stuff. I mean, I can't help but laugh, but it's sad at the end of the day. Now, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has been given an award established in honor of an assassinated journalist. He was awarded the 2019 GUE-NGL Award for Journalists, Whistleblowers, and Defenders of the Right to Information. And he deserves it. Now, it is sponsored by European parliamentarians after being established in 2018 in honor of assassinated Maltese journalist, I think, Daphne Galizia. Now, the award is given to individuals, as they say, quote, uncovering the truth and exposing it to the public, and to honor individuals or groups who have been intimidated and or persecuted for uncovering the truth. Oh, excuse me, knocking around my microphone, getting worked up, uncovering the truth and exposing it to the public. I mean, think about this. So this is exactly what he did. And now we have an entire, a massive organization honoring that he in fact did this. And that this is currently while the U.S. government is doing everything they can to argue that he didn't do any of this. That he's not a journalist. That he's working with the Taliban, actually. And that he was doing this to fight against America because he's working with a foreign country. This is what they're trying to do. Fantasy land. Now, Nobel Peace Prize winner, Mariad Maguire, collected the award on his behalf, of course, because he's currently in a Guantanamo-esque type place right now. And being charged with very serious crimes that he did not even close to commit. But we have to really see this again. This is not, of course, it's not fantasy land that he received the award, but it's fantasy land that the United States government is trying to frame him for something while he's literally being awarded for the very same thing. They just differ on what they think that thing is. I think the reality is that Julian Assange, as I've pointed out numerous times, Julian Assange exposed the crimes of the government. He told us the truth. He revealed what they do not want us to know. And instead of praising him as the hero that he is, they arrest him. They attack him. They torture people like Chelsea Manning. And meanwhile, as I pointed out recently, not a single person who actually committed these war crimes that no one denies has ever actually been held accountable, while they continue to attack the people who exposed it. That's chilling, people. Truly should be. Now, for the last story of the day, again, to show you this staggering disconnect that we're seeing today, this coming from the anti-media, U.S. issues new map showing Golan Heights as Israeli territory. Not like we didn't know this was coming. We all saw this coming. But the fact that it's happening now, while it could not be more contested, shows you, again, one, that they simply do not care about what international law or even the rest of their allies think, that they're above the law, they act with impunity, but that they're willing to take these actions knowing that even their own people do not support it. Well, maybe I shouldn't talk about the Israeli, I'm actually going to get into a story tomorrow where I'm alarmed at how much support they seem like they have from the average people in regard to their extremist actions. But this should be upsetting to us because we know that this is false. Everyone thinks this is illegal and they're just simply doing it anyway. I don't know how many more examples we really need to see that these people do not respect the law unless they're enforcing it on our actions. So only 3 weeks after Donald Trump announced that he would recognize the region of the Golan Heights as belonging to Israel, even though he doesn't have the authority or the ability to do so at all, the U.S. has issued a new map officially showing the occupied Golan Heights as Israeli territory. Not that this even in and of itself means anything. I can make a map about whatever I want. I could change the states all around. I can make a map about Europe and put it out, and this is official. It doesn't mean anything. But the difference is I don't have the largest military in the world behind me. You see, because that makes a difference. And they can do these things and drive it home and make it the policy, the reality, even though it's clearly not. So U.S. Special Representative for International Negotiations, Jason Greenblatt, yesterday tweeted a picture of the new map with the words, "Welcome to the newest edition of our international map system," after President Trump issued a proclamation recognizing Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights, as if, you know, as if they ever had sovereignty over this area to begin with. Here's the map. You can see for yourself. Now, the map shows the 1974 ceasefire line between Israel and Syria as a permanent border, using a solid line as opposed to the dashes usually used to show that it's not an official border. Now, in contrast, the other armistice lines separating Israel from Lebanon, the occupied West Bank and Gaza Strip, are still shown with dashed lines. But I think we can see that this is next to, this is, I mean, this is not going to change. They are, this is, or ultimately it's not going to change what they're trying to do there, but what's going to happen is we can see that the West Bank specifically is next on their list. Again, even as the world says they're not allowed to do this, that it's breaking the law, that they're violating human rights, and they're just going to do it anyway. And we know this because Netanyahu himself has been open about it. This is the next that's going to happen. And they believe they have the right, at least in the minds of Donald Trump and Netanyahu, they believe they have the right to make these illegal maps and make that the reality for everyone paying attention. Now, President Trump's decision was opposed, again, by the international community at large. Even U.S. allies, remember, even their staunchest allies still think that this is not okay, or at least pretend to care. Now, Netanyahu has since been emboldened, as I pointed out, by the Golan recognition, vowing to annex the West Bank. And this is not just a promise he made while running that people tried to make it out to be. He has now doubled down on that and said, trust me, this was not just a campaign promise. This is happening. While the United Nations still maintains that that is illegal. Now, speaking in an interview with Israel's Channel 12 News, Netanyahu literally said, quote, "I am going to extend Israel's sovereignty to the occupied West Bank, and I do not distinguish between settlement blocks and isolated settlements." So making it sound like some kind of a benefit here, we'll extend our sovereignty. Really, what he's extending is authoritarian rule over these people, which is what they've been trying to do for a very long time. And it's the very thing that the United States and their deal of the century pretended they were going to be doing something to benefit the Palestinian people, but now we know that's not the case. It's all a ruse. It's all political theater designed to get you to think that these people may just have a good heart somewhere in there. They may be righteous and altruistic somewhere deep down. at the end of the day. And then they show you the reality always at the end. And they really want you to believe that maybe there was politics involved and they had to play the game. There are good people down there somewhere. And I think we need to wake up and realize that that could not be farther from the truth. This is happening, all of this, while the international community, including U.S. and Israeli allies, can all see and acknowledge how brazenly illegal this is. They all stand against it. They even condemn it. But they don't care. We need to see just how much they are showing us today that the law only applies to us, the peons, the serfs, the plebs, just like in a dictatorship or a monarchy. Now, sure, we have something a bit different today. The world is different. Things have clearly changed since classic ideas of monarchies and dictatorships. But when you have governments working together to literally and willfully undermine the rule of law, to ignore it outright, and illegally seize territory of others while oppressing and subjugating numerous populations around the world, all while insultingly telling us that they are doing the opposite, in fact, rescuing these people from the very same thing the U.S. seeks to provide, destabilization and the appointment of a controllable dictator. Everywhere we see this playing out, everywhere we see them telling us, feeding us the lie while they do the exact opposite. They want us to believe they're doing this for good reasons, while we have a track record of destabilized and catastrophically failed states in their wake. And they want us to believe that the next one is for good reasons. Well, I simply cannot justify another catastrophic humanitarian crisis because they tell us they're doing good things. I can't allow that. And I'm going to continue to speak up about it as much as possible. We need to wake up to the reality that this political theater, this illusion they've cast in front of us, is beginning to dissipate. And that's why they're doubling down. We need to see the larger agenda playing out all around the world. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Be sure you jump over to DLive. The link is in the show notes. And follow, subscribe, get notifications. Within the next 10, 15 minutes, I'll be going live with a research and review. And you can continue this conversation with me there. And we can keep talking on, more informally with the chat. We can go back and forth and you can ask questions. It'll be a good time. So thank you for joining me today and keep the conversation going. Whether you join us over at R&R or you see me here tomorrow, get out there and talk to people. Get their opinions. Share your own. Question things. Show some discernment. There are lies everywhere today. But I guess that's why you're here, because you're already doing that. I love you all. Hopefully I'll see most of you in DLive shortly following this. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.